Instant inspiration. Preposterous presumptions. Preposterous presumptions. This is Dr. Herbert O'Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. Preposterous presumptions. Many people make preposterous presumptions. Let's just take a beggar. A beggar making a presumption that because I am a apparently a very wealthy man and I am from America and I should have a lot of money, he would like to even have my smallest denomination. It would be a big denomination for them, as the one in, where it was, in Ghana and Nigeria, as they were asking. So the man came to me and said he wanted to have a handout. And it's a preposterous presumption for me to do that. In America, beggars are wealthier than people who have earn a living because they get $5, $10, $50, $100,000 a day, and they don't pay taxes on it. They don't do anything with it, and they just have wear old dirty clothes while they're doing it. They don't have to wear a suit, you know. And they go home and they take the money and they go for a ride in their Cadillac and enjoy the swimming pool and other things like that. And that's not a joke. That's a real thing. You see, we've learned that it's a preposterous presumption for me to give a donation to somebody else. Now, I give things where I think that they can be beneficial. If an organization is doing good work, I like to support its good work. If an organization is doing something beneficial for humanity and mankind, great. Ronald Reagan just sent a request that I send him money for his hotel there that he's got where he's putting his business office in and stuff like that. And my God, the guy's got more $1 million than I'll ever have beans, you know. And he could be spending his own money on that sort of thing if he were home. But with Alzheimer's disease, he's not home. So he can't make a decision like that. Others are making it for them. But to me, it's an unfortunate thing when people who have so much money like that ask the general public for money. I don't know what they're going to spend on that thing, though, billions of dollars. But it's a preposterous presumption to think that I would have any interest in having a memorial of any kind to anybody. I don't believe in memorials. In fact, I don't believe in cemetery lots. I believe in cremation. And then dusting the ashes in the ocean from dust to dust. Why should we remember the body, or, if you will, the life of a person by a gravestone or by a cross? That, to me, is a preposterous presumption that we should be interested in doing that. We should rather think of how many smiles that person brought to the world. How happy was that person with themselves? Were they like my mother? She's always going around with a big smile on her face. She had troubles. She had problems. She had health problems. She had relationship problems with Pop, and she had lots of things that would concern her. But she always had a smile on her face. And people would always say, Ella's always got the biggest smile on her face. She's always such a happy lady. It's such a joy to be with her. She never talks about problems. She never talks about things that are unhappy. She's always talking about things that are uplifting and great. And I think, wow, you know, I got a great mother. Well, I listened and learned and attempted to apply all of those things in my life, too, because I think that's a wonderful, wonderful way to be. Now, it's a preposterous presumption to think that you could make my mother angry, because my mother knows the truth about whatever it is you're trying to make her angry over, and she just does not allow herself to be touched by it. Now, do we allow ourselves to be touched by it? If we do, then it's not preposterous. If somebody comes up to us and says, well, like the story we have in the our books, the three sons and the father, and the father was thought to be dead, he's thought to be a criminal, he's thought to be a murderer, he's thought to be, you know, all these things. Now, did the sons believe it? That's more or less. And when they came home, their father was playing with the sisters and the daughters, and he was perfectly happy, and none of those things were true. Those things were just an illusion. It's a preposterous presumption to think that a man of that character would fall into any of those traps. Now, we say, what about people who fall into those traps, people who do those things? Well, if you find people who have actually done terrible things, they probably have set the cause in motion somewhere along the line for doing that, and you may not be aware of it. You're not always aware of good people. Now, we have a dog, Button, and Button is very sensitive, and Button goes after some people, and other people just loves to pieces. Button would probably love a crook to pieces, probably love a burglar to pieces, because the burglar is not feeling he's doing something wrong. He's doing what he thinks is right. Now, people who are not doing things that are right, Button suspects them. He finds them indecisive. He finds them that they might hurt him because they are not sure of themselves. So whenever Button draws your attention to somebody and says he's not too happy with them, you better be careful of them yourself. Now, it's not that they're bad people, not that they're evil or anything like that. It's just that they have in their aura, in their charisma, something which Button is aware of and he is tuned into. And the biggest thing about it is that they don't like themselves for some reason. They may not be some terrible bad thing about them, but they just don't like themselves. And a dog cannot trust somebody who doesn't like themselves because he doesn't know whether they're going to be mean to them or happy to them. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And so when Button goes smelling people and checking people over, you know, even with on the leash with me, and he still checks them over, and the people pet him, you know, and then I pet the people, and I say, see, Button, I pet you, and I pet the people too, you know. And so all of a sudden, the people I pet, you know, sort of melt because they realize, you know, there's nothing to be frightened about. But they're frightened of Button because they don't know if Button's going to bite them. Button is frightened of them because Button doesn't know if they're going to kick him or not, you know, if they're going to be unkind to him. And so dogs are very astute. They're very aware. And it's a preposterous presumption to say that the dog is barking incorrectly, that he is judging someone incorrectly, because though what you think and I think that person may be subject to, and what Button thinks quite likely are two different things. Button senses the emotional, the feeling nature of the person, whether they like themselves or not, whether they feel confident in themselves. And it's a preposterous presumption to think that Button is wrong. It is just preposterous. Because when we think that Button is wrong, we're thinking that his sensitivity is not astute enough to do what he's doing. Now, some cats are like that too. They come to some people and they ignore other people. And sometimes even your own cat will ignore you because you have an emotional snit on. And when you have this emotional snit, then the cat feels that sensitivity and they stay away until you get your balance back. It's not that you're going to hurt them. It's that they do not want to have any of those negative vibrations in their aura. And if people have pets and people are negative, those pets are usually negative. Those pets are usually unruly and undependable. Now, I read about articles in magazines of a German shepherd, and it shows him baring his teeth and going after this guy and killing the guy and stuff like that, and the guy held up his arm and protected himself and all that nonsense. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. Why did he put himself into such a position? Why did he put himself into such a position where the dog would attack him? Why, is it a wild dog from somewhere? Is it something evil? Or was he where he wasn't supposed to be? Now, he is and was in that position where he was endangered by the dog. What is the first thing he should have done? The first thing he should have done was to get down on the level of the dog and look the dog square in the eye, and the dog will back off every time. If you get down on all fours, you're down on the level of the dog, and dogs don't like to look you square in the eye. You know that. It's just one of the traits. And when a dog looks you square in the eye, you must be a pretty wonderful person. I know Button comes and stares in my eyes sometimes, and I think, oh, how about that, Button? I guess you like me, huh? But Little Love, he doesn't do that too much. He's skittish with his eyes, although he does look in your eyes now and then, but it's only when you have some food for him or something special. But it's a preposterous presumption to think that any person or animal doesn't have the ability to sensitively know what's going on in their world without seeing it, without having outer evidence of it. They have an inner evidence of it, an inner knowingness. And this is what you have. This is what you are. This is what you do. Now, are you using it? Are you taking advantage of it? Are you enjoying it? If not, do so. And it's a matter of just following your feelings. Following your feelings, because your feelings will usually lead you right. It's not your heart, because your heart is sometimes taken off course. But your feelings are usually pretty correct, because you feel what is right to do. You feel what's right to say. Because you're listening to your own inner divine self with your feelings. Now you say, I've seen some people. That wasn't feelings, that was emotions. Now, feelings and emotions, from my thinking, are different. Emotions are those things that control you. Feelings are those sensitivities within you that say, hey, consider this. It's like your wisdom center. It's like your divine center wanting to reveal something to you. So we should really listen to those things very carefully. But just remember, don't have any preposterous presumptions. We have ministers who are establishing churches, and they think that we're going to support them as they establish these churches, and that we're going to buy them cars and buy them typewriters and computers and stuff like that. And that's a preposterous presumption, because that's not our work. Our work is educating people in the field of the University of Healing. And we establish churches merely because that's beneficial to them. But and they can use it as a teaching center. But they have to do it all on their own. And we have not helped anybody. We will go and speak to people. We will go and lecture for them and give them the lion's share of the seminar receipts and stuff. But it's a preposterous presumption to think that we are creating churches that we are owning and possessing. And I think that's a good point, Ellen. We do not possess the church. We have no control over it, and so forth. So that's something we must know in our hearts. And we must have the feeling for it. And then we don't have to worry about the emotion of, because we don't want to alienate anybody, but we do want to make sure that everyone knows what we're talking about. So don't go entering into any preposterous presumptions about anything. Listen to your heart. Yeah?
Yeah.
No?
Listen to my feelings.
Ah, yes, my God, how quick we forget. Listen to my feelings, not your heart. Your heart, presumably, is your emotion. Mm. And your feeling is your intuitive telephone line to the divine. Mm-hmm. How about that? Your intuitive telephone line to the divine.
That's exactly right.
So, have a lovely evening and think beautiful thoughts, and let your instant inspiration be a loving experience every day in your life. I love you.